All right, praise the Lord. Let's grab a Bible and go to the book of Acts. The book of Acts. There have been some events the last 10 days that close to my life that have admonished me and perhaps convicted me, you could say, which is a great thing, to apply myself the best I can each and every day, which has always been our theme and our motto, always, always faithful, always ready, always forward. And sometimes when it comes to the work of God, the Lord will put us in situations to where He causes us eventually, through our denseness, overcoming our denseness, to see a larger picture. These lessons, these recordings, these teachings, these preachings are partly the result of that, because I have no idea, for the most part, who will hear these words. And I have no idea, few or many, that wish to. And yet I sense that we live in a time now to where just the simple faith once delivered to the saints is getting less and less accessible. And that is not to say that there are not many, many people putting out the Word of God, and there are. I get concerned sometimes with the modern so-called return to the faith that only goes back a few hundred years instead of back to, for example, this book that we're about to study, the book of Acts, and the epistles of the Apostle Paul. Now, we are not in any way, shape, or form ultra or extreme, or even strong dispensationalists. We are moderate dispensationalists. And the man who many have accused of being a hyper-dispensationalist taught us and taught me, taught us to be moderates in it. And his preaching, if you listen to his preaching only, to Doc's preaching only, you wouldn't know he was a dispensationalist in many times, because he had enough common sense to know how to apply the Bible. That's a rare man, and I'm so grateful for him. And I say all that as an introduction to this first thing on the Acts of the Apostles, because we're going to look through the first part of chapter 1, and I'm going to pursue some things and just put them out here on broadcast that I hope will be a help, and they'll at least be accessible. Heaven forbid, God forbid, that we would get to heaven and find out that we took our one talent and buried it in a napkin because we didn't have 5 or 10 like other people. Some of us, myself, I'm putting in that group, have one talent. And we don't have the 5 and 10 and, you know, this multiplicity of abilities. I think that in light of that, in light of what the Lord Jesus Christ taught, it behooves us to be even more diligent with that and to get the best return on it that we can. And the only way to do that is to put it out and to sow it. You know, I've had a request recently about some stuff, some teachings on different books of the Bible, and I got to thinking, I have archived, just by the grace of God, not by my great design or planning ability, but I have, you know, hundreds of hours of things that were taught in different places. But I'm embarking now on some things that are specifically for putting out and broadcasting, and because of that, you will note there'll be some things I don't even bother to touch on. And there'll be some things that I will be discreet about, because it's totally different if I was sitting across a table with you and answering your questions than it is to put it out to where, and I would like, my hope is, for example, that a teenager, a young person, an elderly person, that all would be able to listen and be safely edified. There, we live in a time when the brethren are crossing the line. Now, I expect the world to cross the line. They have to get more and more crass. I'm amazed when the world is more discreet than preachers are. I'm amazed. If the power of God cannot help you and I express truth within the bounds of how God expresses it in the Bible, His wording, if you have to be more graphic than the Bible, you're missing something. I'm not telling you what you're missing. I'm just saying you're missing it. I'm not saying what someone else is missing. I just know you're missing something. Because if the Word of God can practice discretion and still get the message across, then we probably just need to keep our nose in the book until we can. You say, well, there's the shock factor. Well, the shock factor is supposed to be the power of the Holy Spirit. I've never been edified by graphicness. And if you get around it much, you'll find that you won't be either. Now, Acts chapter 1, and this is called the book of the Acts for a reason. It's the Acts of the Apostles. It is, number one, and when I went through this first half of the chapter, I ended up with some statements that start with an A. I don't do it on purpose. It happened to lend itself to it, and perhaps it'll help it be clear to you. First of all, it's aptly named. It's appropriately named. This thing is appropriately named because that's what it is. It's the Acts of the Apostles. Someone said, oh, that shouldn't be so. That should be the Acts of the Holy Spirit. That's a hyper-spirituality that actually misses the point. And the point is that you can't necessarily say everything the apostles did that are recorded in here exactly how it ought to be, but it is the acts of them. And it's written that way because the Lord Jesus Christ ascends back to heaven, sends the Holy Spirit, leaves Him to be our comforter, our guide, our teacher, etc. And so it's appropriately named. It's the Acts of the Apostles. Now, the reason apostles are important is because they are, by definition, the first people to go in and do something, the first person. There are other definitions in the dictionary of apostles, but that's one of the main ones. That's why the role of the apostle, R-O-L-E, the role of the apostle is generally associated with the role today in 2019 of a missionary. And so when you see apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, it's the picture of the missionary. The missionary often, if you go over to Ephesians, often has to fulfill many of those roles in the beginning, in the preaching and teaching of the apostle and the prophet and the evangelist and pastor and teacher. And then with time and accessibility, either he trains someone and some of these different men get called to fulfill these different roles, which is really a type of ministry is what it is. It's not some gift of someone prophesying your personal future. It's not someone trying to lead somebody to Christ, the evangelist, at a traffic light or in an elevator between three floors. That's not what that's about. It's about their role in the body of Christ ministering. And so when we begin to think of this thing, of these apostles, these are the beginning, these are the faith once delivered to the saints of the New Testament. So it's appropriately named. So he says, the former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. Now we know Luke wrote this. We also can understand through Scripture that he was the beloved physician. So one of the gospel accounts he wrote, and this he wrote, and he wrote it to Theophilus. Notice he said, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. The word all is often used in the Bible and in life in a not inclusive way. In other words, not containing every single little thing. And that's very normal. Some might say it's not exclusive. Well, it isn't. It doesn't include the kind of all that would be every single thing. He said, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. Now, what this does, this gives us insight into how God teaches us. Because remember, it said that if all the things he could do were written in John, at the end of the book, John says that he supposed that the world could not contain the books. So this all is a selection, but it was approved of God. And then as I read down through here, I thought, you know, he didn't know. The third is the afterward use of our labors in God. Luke did not know he was writing something that was going to stand up through all eternity. He could not have imagined that his two books would end up as part of what we call the Holy Bible or Holy Scripture or the canon. Okay? So the afterward use of our labors in God, we don't know. You know, many have quoted, who being dead yet speaketh, when they refer to the printed ministry of saints gone on or the recorded ministry of saints gone on. You say, why do we call them books in the Bible? Listen, I've read books that were two or three pages. You say, well, we call it a booklet. Okay, fine, it's a book. And I've read things that impacted my life that were maybe not even 10 pages. Now, here's the thing. Luke didn't write it and then go promote it. Luke didn't write it and then blog it. Luke didn't write it and then go preach places and tie his message to it. He just wrote it. And do your part and then leave the rest to God, not promote and campaign, etc., as they do now. You know, one of the things that's crept in, perhaps even nowadays rushed into Christianity, is this promotional thing. And you say, well, telling other people what you've done or what somebody else has done, that's great. But what guys are doing now, people are doing, is they're promoting each other. You know, and you see these little disclaimers, you know, promotional consideration. In other words, one guy promoted somebody else, it's called endorsement, right? One of these football players who recently retired has not cashed in, not spent any of his paychecks all these years. He's lived off his endorsements and that kind of stuff. So endorsement is powerful, and people know that, and pretty soon they get to promoting. It's the afterward use of our labors in God. So, you know, do what you ought to do and leave it with God. That really hit me as I was reading this. All right, he says that Jesus began both to do and to teach, verse 1, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. Now, we noted that it was appropriately named and that the all was, you know, not inclusive. We looked at the afterward use. Now, ready? Any day is every day. Notice what he did, verse 2. We'll walk down through this passage for a few minutes. Any day is every day. It says, until the day in which he was taken up. Now, if you'll read the concluding parts of the gospel, what you will find for those 40 days, 40 is the number of testing, probation, it's also the number of teaching in that way. What you'll find is that he would appear and he would pull back. And then he would appear and then he would pull back. And he would teach them, pull back, teach them. He's preparing them. This is very similar to what we do in life. This is very similar to why when we meet together, we meet and then you go out to your daily life and you come back and you meet again. And so any day is every day. And you don't know when the day is. The events of the last 10 days, the recent passing of people, just reminds us that we don't know when our day is. There's people who slowly get ready to cross over, and there's people who just, bang, cross over to heaven. They cross over to God. He calls them home, and that's it. And you don't know. Young, old, middle, you don't know. Any day is every day. All right, and then notice it says, to whom also he showed himself alive. Alive. This is an affirmation. This is an affirmation to us because you should mark in your King James Bible by many, many, okay, infallible proofs. I remember one time I was holding a Bible study, a fairly good-sized group, and we'd done the first hour. It was in a person's home and doing outreach, and we were getting right towards the end of it, and I mentioned a passage, that passage right there, many infallible proofs, and someone else came in, and they had a really nice-looking new Bible, and it was a it was probably a New American Standard, New King James, whatever. And we started up the second hour because they had missed the first one, and we started in on something else, and this person raised her hand and said, I got to ask you this. What you're reading, mine doesn't say that. And I asked what version she had, and I said, well, are you curious about it? And there was a group of probably 15, 20 people there, and I was watching them, and I thought, okay, this is good teaching time. So I started through a list of test verses, salient verses, and we got to Acts chapter 1, and I said, I'm going to read a verse. We'd been reading a verse, and she would read a verse. I'd read out of the King James, she'd read it. And I read this verse, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs. And she didn't even get her verse read. She slammed it shut and said, we need to burn this thing. And the testimony was, it was brand new. In those days, this is a long time ago, okay? It's probably, who knows what she paid for it. And it was brand new, you know, and the best thing and all that. And it, she had bought a new copy of it. But hers didn't say, it said by many convincing proofs. Well, convincing is totally different than infallible. In fact, I've been convinced of things, and if you would be honest, you've been convinced of things that were not so. And I think it's fair to say that there's a big difference between infallible proofs. And the point is, alive. Now, why is that important? Because the faith once delivered to the saints is founded upon an alive Savior. And not in an airy-fairy way, in a very real way. He is alive. I think Christianity, you know, has come to the point where it's primarily head for a lot of people. I realize there's a whole group that just live out of their heart and their emotions, and, you know, and that's why they focus on just the title Jesus instead of Jesus Christ or our Lord. I get that. But there's a lot of head Christianity that says, yes, I know he's alive, I know he's in heaven, but he's alive. And so he's alive in your heart, and he's alive in your mind, and he's alive. And if you're not careful, it's only when you feel that he's alive that you realize he's alive. No, he's alive by many infallible proofs. Affirmation is very important. I am amazed at Christians misunderstanding the work of God in the ministry. And they misunderstand it for one reason. They get some values going that are not biblical. They're not Bible. For example, you cannot live with and be effective and successful without affirmations. So when the world uses them, why not realize that's why they use them? Because that's how they get things done. You know what's amazing? Christians actually, and this is sad, but they become lazy. They become lazy mentally. They become lazy spiritually. Let's take Bible-believing Christians. I mean people who know that we have here in our English Bible the Word of God. We know we have it. We know it. Okay? Here's the problem. That's not enough. You got to know Him. He's alive. Infallible proofs, if you want to make a note, 1 Corinthians 15. He goes through the whole list of how the evidence is infallible that Jesus Christ rose from the grave. Okay? Infallible. Absolutely, utterly infallible. And that's why it's so important. And so, yes, he's alive. It's an affirmation. You can know in your head he's alive and it not affect your soul. I don't mean your emotions. I think really good Christian music is a wonderful gift from God. But I have noticed that people, the kind of music they're attracted to, lets you know how they live their Christian life. And I think we must all be very careful that we don't live on this up and down, in and out level. Alive, affirmation, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs. being seen of them 40 days, speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. All right, notice it says here, let's back up to verse 2, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. So let's talk about appointed and appointing. It is very important to understand that there's no substitute for doing what you've been appointed to do by God. Now, education and training and equipping are part of how God made life. But what has happened is we have lost sight as believers. I haven't, but I say we. In other words, believers have lost sight of the fact that there is that it that has to do with this word appointed. Now, there's no substitutes for it, for being chosen, whom he had chosen. This chosen is not a predestination to heaven or hell. It's not any of that sort of thing. God might have appointed somebody and they don't know it. I've known of people who all they wanted to do was be faithful and serve God, and they went to the trouble to pack up, go to Bible Institute, and learn the Bible, and all of a sudden God taps them on the shoulder. Now, whether God was moving them to go because he knew he was going to or whatever, I don't know. I just know this, that when we think about what he said in John 15, verse 16, ye have not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you, etc., etc. In other words, we don't choose it, and we don't get qualified to do it or chosen to do it by our qualifications. I think it's important. Well, I know it's important. That if you're called, you should do something about it. Here's the problem. If you wanted to promote a university, if you wanted to promote a college or even a Bible Institute, if you could give people the idea that by coming there, they would end up equipped and successful, you would attract more people. The problem is, the people that need to be ministering the word are people who should have been appointed by God. Old Brother Wood used to say there'd be a lot fewer churches and pulpits if the men who were just the men who were called were in pulpits. And then the answer is, but what about these churches? Well, people would have to seek out those who are called, but then those who are not called would not be doing this neutral, really negative work in God. See, here's the thing. Do you want, let's say you got to have surgery. Do you want somebody who's not only trained and equipped, but is gifted at it and called to be a surgeon working on you? Do you want somebody to build something for you that is going to build it right? Because that's what they do. I worked for a German Mennonite carpenter that there was no doubt in my mind that that's what he was called to be. It was amazing. So there's this appointing. They were appointed by the Lord. They were appointed to do these things. All right, now, that's verse 2. We read verse 3. Look at verse 4. And I think what we're going to have to do here, for the sake of keeping these things about where we keep them, we will look at we're going to stop there and pray. I want these things to be where people can grab them and listen to them. I want them to be where you can do it. Now that we stopped at appointing, next time we're going to look at assembled. And we're going to look at asking and ascending. And we're going to look at admonishment to apply to ourselves. Father, we pray you take these things and use them. Lord, I pray that this format that I think you've laid on my heart will be effective. And I pray that as only you can, you would honor and bless it. I ask it, Lord, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.